Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are looking at a remedy for discouraged saints. If you're in that category, then this broadcast today is for you. And our Bible is open to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we are looking at verses 10 and 11 as we recognize Peter's words to the Christians of his day, recorded and preserved by the direction of the Holy Spirit of God for Christians in our day. And we look and see what Peter did to encourage those who were struggling with the problems that they had, which added persecutions, severe persecutions, to the same kinds of struggles that we have, because even though 2,000 years has gone by, the basic struggles that human beings have are not all that much different. And so it's easy to become discouraged. But for the child of God, there are so many reasons to rise above our discouragements and to revel in the grace of God and the promises of God and the truth which God has revealed to us to such an extent that our discouragement flees away. And so what did Peter say to the saints of his day? Well, he said, number one, remember that you are heirs of an accomplished salvation. Let that soak in for a while, and your discouragements will disappear. He said, number two, remember that you are recipients of new covenant fulfillments. And that's the one that we are exploring and expanding upon in the broadcast today as we continue where we left off on Friday. Remember that you are recipients of new covenant fulfillments. And I did not just say new covenant blessings, because that would be virtually synonymous with the first statement that deals with our being heirs of an accomplished salvation. But there is this newness, this grander truth, I suppose you might say, or at least this expanded truth that needs more explanation, namely the great privileges which new covenant believers have, that were denied to Old Covenant believers. And that's where we are going today. Thank you for joining me on Monday, February 25. Thanks to the financial help given to us by our radio listeners, which keeps us on this station. Well, as Peter says in verse 11, Old Testament prophets longed to understand the very things that we have already received on this side of the cross and often take for granted. Not that we take these things for granted as if they are just commonplace, not at all. We understand the wonder, the marvel of the coming of Jesus Christ, his sinless life, his vicarious death, and the blessings of salvation which are bestowed through him to all who believe. Surely we have a great appreciation for these things. How could we be true Christians at all and not have a great appreciation for them? And surely we are reminded of these things frequently as we read the scriptures and as we sing the hymns that are filled with the doctrine of the person and work of Christ, and as we partake of the Lord's table, which is designed by Christ himself to remind us of the preciousness of his shed blood and his broken body. These are all things that make us appreciate the blessings of the new covenant. But I'm talking about a new understanding, a new appreciation for the vast superiority of new covenant truth compared to Old Covenant obscurity. How many of the truths that we take for granted in the sense that we think that they are common to all of God's people were unknown, were denied, the knowledge of them was denied to the people of God before the cross. They are God's people too, sharing in the very same salvation, but they longed to understand what we do understand. And we are recipients of New Covenant fulfillments. Not only New Covenant blessings, that's great enough, but go one step further and realize what a privilege it is to be recipients of New Covenant fulfillments. All of these things that they looked for in prospect, we have received in fulfillment. And that's what Peter's getting at when he says in 1 Peter 1:10, receiving, or rather verse 10, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who is in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. There are several elements in verse 11 that I want to zero in upon. They searched what and what manner of time. That is, what are the details of the fulfillments of the prophecies of the coming Messiah? They just couldn't conceive of the things that we know. The Messiah who came was the God-man. That was not clear to them. The Messiah who came was a perfect man. That wasn't clear to them. I think they envisioned another prophet, something like Moses or Elijah, who would come as the greatest prophet of them all and would fulfill the prophecies of the Messiah. But they just couldn't envision that. And of course they couldn't if they were thinking in terms of one who is only a man, like Moses or Elijah. But the Messiah who came was the God-man. 100% God, 100% man. How could they understand that? That's difficult for us to understand when it has been fulfilled. To our experience. So they wanted to know the details, searching what, that is, what things, what details, what information, will this one be like, and what manner of time? When will he come? Who is he? What's he like? What exactly is he going to do in order to save sinners? We know he's coming. We know he's promised, but we can't understand these things. And when's he coming? They couldn't understand that either. And then go on to the verse. The Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating. Here was the Spirit of God telling them about this coming Messiah, and yet they didn't know the details of who he was and what he would do, and they didn't know when he would come. And then it says, when he testified, that is, the Spirit of God testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Those are the other phrases I want to focus in upon. They saw dimly that the coming Messiah would suffer. They also saw, according to their own prophecies, that the coming Christ would be glorious. How do you put that together? Is he a suffering Messiah or a glorious Messiah? The Holy Spirit testified about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow, but what does that mean? How is he going to suffer? In what way is he going to suffer? Why is he going to suffer? That wasn't clear to them. And then the glories that would follow, how does that take place? What is the connection between his suffering and the glories that follow? How does all of that happen in one person's lifespan? How does he suffer and experience glory all in one time. And of course, we know, actually, he doesn't experience all of that in one time, except it does begin to be glorious when he rises from the dead, but that's just the prelude to his ascension, his removal from the earth. His glories are now being experienced in heaven. That's where he is now in his glorified body and experiencing the glories that were his before the incarnation. And then he will experience glory upon the earth when he comes a second time. But of course, that wasn't clear to them either, was it? That there was actually two events. There were two comings of the Messiah. The first advent, and then the second advent. The first advent to suffer. The second advent to rule and reign in glory. Well, they saw glimpses of this in their prophecies, the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow, but how to put all that together? What kind of a person is this? Who is this? What's he going to do? How's all of this going to fit together? They puzzled, they wrestled, they wondered, they searched, they studied, they discussed, and they came up largely empty after all of that. And now we know all of those things. We know who he is. He is Jesus, the Christ. We know what he did. His life upon the earth. His sinless perfection, his perfect keeping of the law. We know of his miracles. We know of his powerful words, his wonderful teaching. We know of his suffering upon the cross, the shedding of his blood, the awful, awful shame, the shameful trial, the injustice of his trial, the shameful treatment by the hands of wicked men, both Jewish religious leaders and Gentiles conspiring together in this, agreeing together in it. We know about all of that. We know about his crucifixion on the cross and his burial in the tomb. And we know about his resurrection, glorious resurrection, and ascension back to heaven. We know all of these things. These are wonderful truths to fasten our faith upon, for our salvation depends upon believing the revelation of these things. Wonderful truths to fasten our hope upon, because these truths certify all of the promises that have yet to do with the future for us, the glories that we shall experience that follow our life upon the earth are all dependent upon the resurrection and ascension of Christ and his glories in heaven. We fasten our hope upon these things, and it truly brings us hope, and it banishes our discouragement, or it certainly should do that. And we are therefore the recipients of these new covenant fulfillments that could not be understood, could only be wondered about by the Old Testament people of God. And here we have them, here we know them, here we are familiar with them, here we can discuss them, here we can teach them to our children, we can tell them to others. We are recipients of new covenant fulfillments, and that ought to fill our hearts with joy and banish our despair. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.